You're listening to Tweets Ahead, an Irish podcast where we discuss our favourite tweets and trends from the week. Whether they're social, political, or from the world of sports, we love the unpredictable mess that is Twitter. Enjoy the intro music. Podcast. It's all about talking tweets, Twitter, and the ridiculousness of the Twitterverse. My name is Fergal, and I'm joined by Cormac and Sean. As always, gentlemen, how are we doing?
Yeah, very, very good, Fergal. Just enjoying a nice cup of coffee that you've actually just made me. So, as it is, as I lean closer to smell it, there's a sort of a hint of some sort of chocolate in this.
Yeah, when I poured your coffee, I started shaving.
Did you put a flake in it or something?
Yeah.
Is there
chocolate?
Yeah. Well, you can't put a flake in. There's a flake shortage, isn't there?
I know a good flake guy.
You know a guy?
Yeah.
That was a guy. Rob the guy.
Yeah.
How's your week been, Cormac?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Purchased some new t-shirts I was telling you about yesterday from Black and White Vintage. Everything
that's
currently...
It's a local...
it's a local kind of clothes... not shop as such, but it's a website, everything on it. I think at the moment it's down to €12 because the guy that owns it has to move house. So, check it out. You might get something nice on it yourselves.
I did. I got the harp.
Oh, you did get the harp.
Jumper on it, yeah.
Harp jumper on it. Sean, I've not seen you yet with any black and white vintage.
No, I must get some black and white vintage.
At this point, I'm going to give out our podcast discount code. No, we are not sponsored by Black and White Vintage, but it's a good local clothing range. So, yeah, check it out. Sean, how was your week? You made a big purchase, didn't you?
I made a massive purchase.
Life-changing, I would say.
Life-changing one. It has revolutionized my life.
Yeah.
It is a Philo Active 4 Garmin fitness watch, which I got.
Yeah, it's added some much needed structure to your day, has it?
I'm all about steps. If I don't get a good sleep score, I go back to bed.
This has taken over though, because I have it in a good authority that you went to the cinema the other day.
Yeah, I went to see the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, yeah. And then after the cinema, you were invited to hang out and socialise, but you said no, you declined. Because you hadn't gotten your steps in for the day.
Well, I don't think I actually invited them to hang out. So I was quite happy to part. But what I did find unusual was that he was walking. And it's quite a distance from where he lives. That road isn't called the Long Avenue for no reason.
I walked the Long Avenue and then I got a beep to say I got my steps in. I'm on a 10-day step goal streak.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on fire right now. Yeah.
It also tells him about his messages, doesn't it?
Yeah, I can screen my messages.
I noticed on the way down he didn't break any laws because we were stopped at a traffic light. But his phone went and he looked.
Oh, he looked at his watch and he just kinda okay.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't come up as seen.
Doesn't come up a scene, so I can scan people's messages and kind of decide whether I'll answer straight away or answer later on.
So it's allowing you a bit more structure in your life, Sean, and to be a bit more antisocial. Like, this sounds like the dream.
Yeah, it's the optimal amount of technology that I need in my life. Anything more will just be too much. I think this is it now.
You're not happy with my internet control light bulbs in my house, are you?
You know, if you got like a Nest thermostat, you could probably turn it on with your watch on the car. The way home.
No, I don't need that.
I'm happy
that it's just monitoring.
Considering I turned your thermostat down last night, I think
I learned a valuable lesson there. As far as
I'm also learning how much time you two spend together. So what are you talking about this week?
I am talking about Saponiism.
Oh yeah.
And Marion Gate.
What is Saponiism? Before he gives a brief intro, I guess, before we get into the main thing.
Catherine Sapone, not only did she create her own little job for herself, which she got without any competition, but she also held a shindig in, or a party or a soiree in Marion Hotel for her pals, which a lot of people are quite aggrieved by, since it seems to have broken some misguided guidelines.
Cool. So you'll be taking us through that, what it is, and then Twitter's reaction to
it? Yeah, Twitter's reaction to it, just in a light-hearted, funny way.
Excellent. Cormac?
Oh, there's only one place I can go after that, and that's Messi. Messi-gate itself. Lionel Messi's definitely leaving Barcelona. Although, I've just seen breaking news, he's called some sort of press conference for tomorrow himself. There's a lot of press conferencing going on even around this.
The drama.
Never mind Sapone, everybody releasing a statement every 20 minutes. There's a lot of press conferencing going on around the Messi thing. So he's now called one tomorrow to discuss his potential Barcelona exit. So
teaser for a trailer.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll be talking about that. And maybe just probably mention that Kelly Harrington is fighting tomorrow morning in the Olympics for a gold medal. So... well, I'd probably get up early to watch that.
Yeah, and there's been a strong social media reaction to her success as well. That's cool. I'm going to take a look at a very last minute story because it really started kind of trending today or over the last day or so. And that's the Free Lewis hashtag about how the Lewis is now magically free, or maybe it isn't. Twitter's kind of making that decision for itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you'll have to explain that one.
I think so. We'll have a look at it.
Okay.
All right, Sean, we'll start with yourself, because I think that's definitely the main story over the last week, and it's still going on, still...
Yeah, myself and Cormac have our claws well and truly sharpened for this.
Yeah, I know you two have been looking forward to it.
We are set to kill.
You're dramatic, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the little button on your back, but... no, I suppose to explain this to maybe foreign listeners, as you said, we have a following in Vietnam...
We have a strangely large following in Vietnam,
Basically, our government, which is a coalition of Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Green Party, a Fine Gael member called Catherine Sapone was Minister of Children, and she was departing or leaving. And she somehow managed to make a little job for herself, which was a special envoy of freedom of speech to the UN.
Yeah.
Which is really weird. And then Simon Coveney just kind of, instead of, you know, holding out the job for competitions or having anybody else go for it, just kind of gave the job to Catherine Sapone. It went to a cabinet meeting and it all got kind of ratified very quickly. This seemed to rub everyone up the wrong way because it looked as if Fine Gael were trying to pull a stroke.
Yeah. As if they're giving a job to a mate, wasn't it?
And yeah, and people were all kind of annoyed about it. And it was funny, like, you know, how, because it's this type of thing that kind of annoys Irish people about Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, is that they seem to scratch each other's backs a lot. But then the Independent released a story about how Catherine Sapone organised a soiree for her friends in her department in the Marion Hotel. For with 50 people with multiple tables booked. And this kind of seemed to get people's alarm bells ringing, because as I said a couple of weeks ago, like, we were booking, you know, a night out for friends for drinks, and we could only book one table for six people.
And it was for like 2 hours or something.
For 2 hours. So it was in the hospitality sector's guidelines that they could only allow a small group of six to book one table. And here we have a situation where Catherine Sapone has organised a fete for 50 people.
Yeah, in the Marion.
So that kind of broke out into what we call hashtag Saponeism and hashtag Mariongate. So a lot of people got really pissed off about it, and quite rightly so. I was just going to start off on the Saponeism hashtag, just about kind of Saponies, I suppose. Past history. She's
Are we saying Saponi or Sapone?
I always say Saponi.
It is Sapone, but we'll...
Yeah, I just keep saying Saponi. It just goes in my head.
It sounds nicer.
Well, I just say Saponi.
It sounds a bit Bugsy Malone or something.
Saponi. Capone. Sounds like a gangster, Saponi.
It does sound like she might be a distant relation of Al Capone.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a different surname.
Not quite a smooth operator, I guess.
No.
Saponi, tomato, tomato. To kind of start off, just an honourable mention, my mum never liked her.
Big shout out.
Never liked her. I'm not sure if it was the way she dresses or something, but there's just something always a bit iffy. And okay. It just goes to show mothers always know best.
I can absolutely back Sean up on that. It's nothing to do with politics or anything like that. My mum also doesn't like Catherine Sapone. My mum is an Irish woman almost in her 80s. So they know things that we'll never know. They're closer to God than we'll ever be, sort of thing. But she actually really dislikes her, not because of politics or... I know Catherine's poem is a gay woman. It's nothing to do with that. It's that she was on an episode of Room to Improve years ago. And my mum really disliked what she'd done with the house. It was built in like a nice little, like the house was in like this nice little sort of dip surrounded by trees. It looked like a little forest, like a horseshoe kind of thing. And I think they cut all the trees down for like a view of some god awful misty mountain that could never have been seen. It was nicer the way it was.
Yeah. And that's it, your mum just sussed her out from there.
My mum knew from then.
She has to be a bad person.
But to be fair, Sapone has been around a while. I know she's the ex-children's minister. I know you're going to go into this, but she's not. The more you dig into it, I think it's maybe just, for whatever reason, she seemed to escape it at the time. But the more you dig into it, she's not unknown to be too far away from some sort of controversy. She would have originally commissioned the Mother and Baby's Home report, but it was the type of report that was, nobody could... The judge wasn't really allowed to do the investigating that he or she wanted to do, and that was based on what the government, laid out was going to be.
We're allowing, essentially.
Yeah, we're allowing.
And a lot of people were saying that on Twitter, that, she didn't, that whole investigation into June babies and mother and baby home, it wasn't the best, and that kind of went against her record. Something else that I came across on a tweet from the journal.ie, an article was shared back when she was a senator in 2016. She was looking to claim expenses over 5 years for over about €80,000.
Yeah.
And the journal looked into it, and she was claiming that she was claiming them because she lives more than 25 kilometres from Leinster House. But when you put it into the Google map and did the math, she was only living less than 22 kilometres.
That's amazing.
Was she,
hold on, is it single trip or round trip? Was she round tripping it?
She was round tripping it, I think.
Up to the 25.
Yeah.
Also, something I've noticed, Sean, is you never say Google Maps. You always say the Google Maps.
The Google.
Like you're 65.
it's just the way I talk about
it. The Google.
I think she, unfortunately, although it never really got really mentioned at the time, because I think it was Frances Fitzgerald who took the brunt of it, because she was Justice Minister at the time. I think Catherine Sapone may have been in charge when Tussler were making serious gaffes around the Garda Morris, was it Morris McCabe?
Yeah.
When allegations were made about him inappropriately being involved with children, and it just happened to be a mistake that was put into his file on a laptop, and there seemed to be, it was, although it was never proved one way or another, but there seemed to be, it was proved that there was an orchestrated kind of collusion against him. How that stuff got on his file or how he came across Tusla's radar was never really found out, other than it was a mistake.
Oh.
But like, it's not just a mistake as in somebody put a sheet into the wrong file in the filing cabinet. We're talking, files were moved around on a computer. And she would have been the minister of the day that would have been looking after Tusla at the time.
Yeah.
And she didn't come out of that too well either, but it was Frances Fitzgerald that took the brunt of it. as Justice Minister at the time. So she's kind of been, she's been due a big one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's been hanging around the gold medal positions for a while, yeah. Fergal, if you want to use an Olympics analogy.
Well,
a couple of bronzes, you know, okay. You know, up to a silver. Now she's, John, as you're about to tell us, has definitely taken the gold.
Oh, she's definitely taken the gold. So she went with this whole thing about looking for the for this job. A lot of people are asking her to comment on it. And she remained just elusively silent for a long while. At True Men Kelly was posted on Twitter, for someone who's the country's envoy for freedom of expression, Zipponi doesn't express herself very much. It took her a long while to come up with something, but then when she was asked about the party in the Merion, she just released a statement. Please contact the Merion Hotel for their statement regarding compliance with government COVID-19. But the absolute gall of that.
That's incredible.
Like that just means it's
don't
not my
me.
It's not
hotel.
My fault. It's the Merion Hotel's fault.
Yeah.
I can just imagine some poor like little summer. You know, in third year college to make the hospitality students go out and get a job, work
yeah.
experience. There's some kid now who's in third year in college and. UCD or something is about to get that phone call kind of saying like, can you give us a statement on what happened that day? And I just sat there going, oh, it's like your man, you know, your man, the guy doing that, young guy that's always doing those jobs in The Simpsons.
Oh, The Simpsons, yeah, 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 like Constantine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's just constantly,
my
yeah.
god,
he's
greasy.
Yeah. just the gall of her then to just blame it on or just pass the buck to the
yeah.
Merion. Like she's in government, she's meant to know what the guidelines are and what she's meant or not meant to organise.
Yeah, did you see that tweet from Mallow News? And they were just like, I'm just as outraged as you are. Leo Varadkar apologises for Merion Hotel party by blaming Fáilte Ireland.
Yeah, I mean that's the main thing. Like, if she shouldn't have known, the Minister for Trade for Enterprise, Hospitality, all those sort of things, which is what Leo Varadkar does, should have known. He shouldn't have then had to have gone and sought clarity from. Both his own department and then
the Attorney General. Yeah. Just
the
stick on Zipponi's department, probably a bit more serious aspect of it. At Bog Lawyer just posted up on Thursday saying, all right, since so many have their tongues hanging out, Minister O'Gorman will need to clarify in what capacity members of his department attended her ladyship's drinking party when his office had cancelled late in the evening, just 48 hours earlier, meetings with survivor groups in Tuam, having sought them at short notice to begin with, and yet some of those expected at Tuam and supposedly quarantining following an alleged outbreak of COVID in the office turned up at Cathy's party. So a couple of them cancelled meetings with Tuam survivors in order to go to this party.
And used COVID as an excuse, like claiming.
Well, not to go, but they were meant to be quarantining yeah, for and missing out on this thing,
yeah.
But they could go to this party a day or two later.
It's awful, isn't it? Though?
Oh, it's horrible.
Jesus.
Yeah,
it doesn't surprise me in the slightest. At all, that's how they've been treated all along. It's interesting you say that because I just noticed this morning, not to go off the phone, but I noticed this morning that while we were all looking at what the left hand was doing, nobody noticed what the right hand was doing, because this morning they've actually rolled back on plans to allow the relaxing of visitors in maternity wards.
I saw that.
They've got,
yeah.
Just like yesterday, I was talking to, he's got Stephen Donnelly, he's incredibly quiet through all this. So.
And they also postponed plans to include buffer areas outside clinics offering abortions.
So it doesn't surprise me really about the Tuam thing at all, because this is how they've kind of been treating women and children for years. So, and then that announcement this morning kind of doubles down on, as the point I was making, that's what they think of women and children anyway. Like, I mean, I think Aoife Grace Moore was on the Maya broke it this morning, kind of saying, worth noting, this was a programme for government priority as well as a promise of the last government. So, you know, they've already rolled back on that. So does it surprise you that they'd roll back on a meeting with the tomb?
Here's a conspiracy theory. There was no party.
Well,
one big distraction.
I'd say with some of the names that came out of being at that party, I'd say it was definitely a party.
So let's go to who was at it. Someone was saying Ivana Balic. She was just
Bacik.
I'm terrible with names today.
We know.
She just got recently elected in the Dublin Bay South by election.
Candidate for Change.
Candidate for Change was the most. And same old shit going on. That's interesting. And then Leo, of course, was there for 45 minutes.
Was Eamon Ryan there?
No, I don't know if Eamon was there. Wasn't he not at another?
He was at another one. Wondering the club.
Wondering where everyone was.
Where they invited 3,500 people, and then asked those 3,500 people to also put it into their groups.
Yeah,
and that was a losing party for Claire Byrne, which is hilarious.
I think she invited more attendees than she got votes. I think it's all right, but it reminded me of, I know I was discussing this with you earlier, it reminded me of Summer Smash Hit Movie Project X.
Oh yeah.
That many people ended up getting invited. I can just imagine Eamon Ryan kind of getting carried around, no top on, just eating out of salad boxes, and, you know, Kid Cudi and Steve Aoki coming in to play. Play it halftime, the interlude with the yeah, yeah, yeahs, but it's just so strange that, and I know we discussed this yesterday when we were talking among ourselves, that it just seems to be like something from a satire, like The Tick of It, Minister or Veep, that all of them are just trying to really badly make sure they're involved.
The funniest bit then is Leo trying to, he's trending online at the minute, Leo Dalík, on RT News yesterday, trying to dig himself out of a hole. Brian Wall, who was on our podcast, tweeted it was the most uncomfortable he's ever seen Leo in an interview, and he was like, there's definitely something going on behind the scenes.
Brian Wall of The Beacon, which is a great resource.
Well, Leo was at a long week and a half anyway, because he's been playing Sherlock Holmes within his own party trying to figure out who the big great grass was.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Let it out. I think he'd narrowed it down after he set up an elaborate ruse to smoke out the leaker, which is ironic given his past himself.
Yeah.
I suppose, you know, you gotta think like a leaker in order to catch a leaker.
I've been undercover the whole time.
Yeah. So I think he might have possibly narrowed it down to everybody's favourite TikToker, Simon Harris, and possibly, I don't know how Pascal O'Donoghue come into it, but
I think
Pascal may have, he's really got a pretty huge job. He's pretty much in charge of the purse strings here and in Europe. He's probably got eyes on the big job.
Yeah.
I've never watched Simon Harris's TikTok, but I get the impression he dabs. I don't know why.
I don't know. I'm not on TikTok. I'm purely on Twitter.
All right.
So I suppose that the funniest bit on all this, and what everybody's kind of capturing everybody's attention on Twitter, is how Leo is kind of retrospectively going back over what the guidelines were.
That's magnificent. And changing them to suit what happened.
He never seen Back to the Future? You don't like mess. you don't change the past.
You don't change the past, you don't try to sleep with your mum.
Yeah.
Those are the rules.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I noticed that Oliver Callan had a great tweet. Just on this point, he said, the government accidentally legalising huge 200 capacity parties purely because the tarnish that went to a suppone do is the most hilariously Irish moment since that time they mistakenly made ecstasy and LSD legal for 24 hours. I do hope a minister goes to a packed theater next.
See a Fiat News at the new party news account just saying, henceforth a gathering up to 200 people for food and drink shall be known as a sapparty.
It's a party.
Yeah.
It's a party.
I do just have visions of Leo just coming out though and going like, yeah, I did it. But you know,
or like Stone Cold. No, was it The Rock? Rikishi, was it? Like,
it was, yeah, me. It was Rikishi. But then no, that's Vince McMahon. It was me, Austin. It was me.
That's
all
it, sorry, yeah.
But I just have visions of him coming out going, yeah, I did it. So what? Like, who are you gonna vote for?
What are you gonna do?
You're saying this, Cormac.
Yeah, reminds me of that Simpsons Halloween special where the two aliens took over Bob Dole and Bill Clinton, and they're like. What's the alternative?
It's a two-party system.
What's the alternative? Leo's due to be Taoiseach. I don't think it's this Christmas. It's next Christmas.
Well, that's what it's doing now. We did it with Stephen Kenny and Mick McCarthy and the football team, and now it's we're giving swap again.
You know, but somebody, and I suspect it'll be the Green Party. I'd say him and Ryan's days are numbered as leader of the Green Party. Somebody's gonna bring it down, you know, or something like that's gonna happen in the next 6 months.
Did you see that great tweet just on that topic of from Not the RTE News, obviously one of our favorite accounts online, a former guest of the podcast, just in quotation marks, I didn't expect you to be able to understand the guidelines with your feeble little pleb brains. Tarnished the defiant in its belief that no guidelines were broken while attending Marion Hotel Bash.
It was just like, you know, like, he's also Minister of Enterprise, and it's just up on Twitter doing it. Like, the hospitality sector are up in arms about it.
Yeah.
A great tweet I saw put up, it was actually by Retro Drive-In Movies. They must do drive-in movies. Mm-hmm. But they just made a good point. And this is an example, just, you know, shows why, you know, Leo should be hung, drawn and quartered for this.
Yeah.
They gave a great example. We wanted to share this with our followers. The Attorney General has tonight issued a statement saying the gathering in the Marion Hotel is not in breach of COVID-19 legislation, according to the statutory instrument signed into law by Minister Stephen Donnelly, aka Egghead. Retro Drive-In Movies was ordered to close on May 18th, 2021, as outdoor gatherings were not permitted. This cost our company over $50,000 in lost revenue, and we still have not recovered. We will continue to seek answers, and we'll be contacting the Office of the Attorney General directly. So it just goes to show how this wasn't communicated to the hospitality sector, but it's clear as day. It's because they're only covering in their shoes now. Leo's going back in time,
yeah.
and back in time to cover up what happened, or to make it look like, oh, we didn't break the guidelines, or we didn't break the law anyway. But the, you know, I was reading the Irish Examiner today, and you know, the new guidelines now that are in Fáilte Éireann's guidelines that have been, as Leo said, updated to allow 200 people and multiple tables to be booked. They're just saying, Adrian Cummins of that restaurant association said, these are actually unworkable.
They're
very difficult to implement. You're trying to police the intermingling of tables, which would be a huge issue straight away. Like, imagine we booked 50 tables, like, for a party. Like, How would you expect to police that?
And are staff expected to police that and then take abuse? You know.
The other thing I've noticed is the in other countries you hear it, but I've never heard the Attorney General mentioned so much in this country since last probably June or July, when Golfgate was the first one that kicked it off, and it just seems like every maybe 3 months. The Attorney General is clarifying something in this country since. Like, it's not, I don't think that's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, I don't think our politicians are meant to, like, declare stuff and then just kind of give him a nod and say, is that correct? And, you know.
Yeah, which raises a couple of interesting, I know this is not what we're talking about, and I know we'll be moving on soon, but I know is there calls, or has the Public Accounts Committee now requested that NPHET come before them to kind of see if they had too much of a role in advising, like, not advising government, but making decisions.
Well, I guess the issue, is that NPHET's only meant to be an advisory.
Yeah. And I think maybe the Public Accounts Committee are kind of looking into maybe when all of this is over and said done with NPHET may possibly be restructured in some way, shape or form. Because that is not a NPHET is quite clearly not a democracy.
No, it's
there's three or four people making the decisions in that place.
Any other great tweets about it, Sean?
Oh, some great tweets here. Just Ashron and O'Dowd put up just in terms of anti-faxers. Looking at the utter clusterfuck that is Merriam-gate and can't help but think how funny it is that anti-fax lunatics somehow think our politicians are involved in a super secret global conspiracy to control our lives. Dr. Harold News simply have a picture of Leo Fradger on the RT News. I had my fun and that's all that matters.
Yeah, there's no way our crew would be able to keep that a secret. Just wouldn't happen.
Be all over TikTok.
Be leaked, yeah.
I love this one. It's very simple. Mallow News breaking. Leo Varadkar hospitalised with dislocated jaw after speaking out of both sides of his mouth.
Yeah.
Bit of cracking one as well. Just real simple. Breaking. Electric picnic relocated to the Marion Hotel.
It's even things like that. Obviously, that's a lot of people at Electric Picnic, but you know, they cancelled their event, they didn't even cancel. Is it Leash? Is it on Leash? Leash County Council didn't approve their event management plan based on guidelines. But exactly what guidelines they're now working off, I don't know, because the guidelines have changed in the last couple of days. Guidelines changed on Thursday from what they were on Tuesday when the initial word came out that Electric Picnic was being canned in Leash. So I don't know where they go from here. Do they have to reapply? Is there still too many people going to an event like that? Can they realistically say no to an event like that, given what's taking place in the Merion? I know you're comparing, you
apples
know,
and oranges there,
50 people to 5,000 people, but I think, as you said yesterday when we were talking in our kind of pre-meeting, they've lost the room, the government.
Well, they've lost the dressing room altogether. Yeah.
I think people are also shocked to hear that we planned this stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened yesterday. We planned it.
Excellent. It's been a massive story. I think it's got legs. It's going to keep going.
Yeah. Do you think Leo will survive?
Yeah, because he doesn't give a shit.
Absolutely.
The headline I read out from Not the RT News, it's parody, but it's not a million miles off how that fucker thinks, like, you know?
He'll only go if Coveney or Pascal think that they can take him on, win, and then win an actual election. And I don't think that Fine Gael could win in a general election right now. I don't know if Pascal or Simon Coveney or even Harris would take.
And Fianna Fáil won't collapse the government because they're too afraid of what would happen if Sinn Féin got in power too.
Cool. Well, listen, I want to keep things kind of local with my own trend. Then we'll get on to yourself, Cormac, because I'm dying to talk about Messi. I think it's brilliant.
Okay.
It's a mess.
It's just very dramatic Spanish soap opera.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But listen, I just noticed that over the last day or so, I've seen loads and loads of tweets about how De Lewis is free all of a sudden, and I literally had to fact check to make sure whether this was true or not. But basically, it all stems from a tweet from Carl Kinsella. He used to write for Joe.ie, and I think he's a freelance writer now. But he's very, very funny, an Irish lad on Twitter. But for anyone who doesn't know, De Lewis is our public transport tram system in Dublin.
Yes, in Dublin only.
In Dublin only, yeah. As there are a lot of things.
And it only goes in two directions.
Four, I think, now.
Oh, four, is it? Yeah.
Up to times. It's three or four, I can't remember. But it's not a free service. it's like 2.70, or it depends on your distance, I think.
I think it's...
Depends what zone, there's different zones.
Zone, doesn't there?
Yeah. I think it's like 3-something return on all of them.
Is it?
Yeah. I was on it last week.
Were you?
And it is.
In Dublin, the big smoke.
I was there for business. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I had used the Lewis because it was really, 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 it was like the weather today, it was raining. And I will tell you one thing, they are certainly not monitoring the capacity on it, I can tell you that now.
My next question is, how did you feel on it? Because I haven't taken public transport since.
Entirely unsafe in a number of ways, not just social distancing, just a number of ways.
Yeah.
It's not been managed well. But the other thing I say is, I have actually been fined on the Lewis myself in the past for non-purchase of ticket.
Oh,
and the reason I gave
the reason I gave
was not that I thought it was free.
Yeah.
I had like a genuine reason as a country boy in the big city.
Oh God!
I had my Leap card, which is a travel card for people outside.
Yeah, Leap card works in Dublin.
Yeah, but I didn't know that. Like, I just had like a ticket for Irish Rail on it. I didn't know that. Like,
oh, that's right. Yeah. Sometimes
I had to top it up.
Be specific. Yeah.
Like, so I like tapped it at the Lewis thing, and
it
didn't tell me that it didn't take it. You see.
Yeah, well, it does make it. There's a big red light and a big big noise.
So I just got on, and the one asked me for a ticket, and I was like, "Oh, there's my name." She's
big,
like, "No,
you big ignorant."
And she asked me for my name, but I didn't give her a real name.
Miguel Sanchez.
It wasn't Miguel Sanchez. No, but I did. It was €100. I didn't pay it, but
you are a bad boy. Hope you listen to this podcast. But yeah, so Lewis, you got to pay for it. You get on it. You know, there's ticket machines outside. You can boop your card, as you said, Cormac, and get on it. But not everybody pays.
Nobody.
For this. A lot of people, like miscreants like yourself, just get on the Lewis and try and get a free ride. But Carl Kinsella tweeted out, "A long-term goal of mine has been to lead a disinformation campaign which claims that the Lewis is free until enough people believe it that they have no choice but to give in and make the Lewis free. So if anyone ever asks you, remember, the Lewis is free." He then followed up with, "It's actually crazy that a service as good as the Lewis would be free, but it is. It's completely free. For some reason, everyone just bloody ran with it."
I seen it on the day and I just, I thought it was funny. Absolutely. But I was like, nah, it won't take off. And then I ignored it for 2 or 3 days. And I looked this morning and Lewis was trending. And yeah, it's absolutely that exact... reason.
Have you ever been in the Lewis, Sean?
Plenty of times. I've never got fined. I paid, I'm
good
very
boy.
Good. I'm a good boy.
So listen, there's been great responses to it. Joe Delaney replied to Carl saying, Don't forget to tell people the ticket machines are for if you want a memento of your journey, nothing more.
Yeah.
Outside. Which I really liked. Someone else called Queaving kind of got in the act with that too, saying, "Fun fact, the Lewis was originally proposed to have an honour system or there'd be no barriers on the platforms, but you would be trusted to buy a ticket. The proposal was rejected in favour of just making it free. To commemorate that proposal, ticket machines were installed." So they're just there for appearances, lads. Nothing more, nothing less. But there's loads and loads of responses to this, Mac, as you said, because, you know, even today you were wondering what I was going to talk about, and I think even before that you're like, "Oh yeah, I saw this trending."
I'm actually looking for it. You're probably going to
beat me to it,
but Lewis have responded.
The official Lewis account did respond. So what happened? That's an interesting one. So what happened there was there's a parody Dublin Bus account that somehow got the handle at Dublin Bus. Like, no underscores, no hyphens, nothing. It actually got at Dublin Bus. And the parody account has been dormant for like about a year. And out of nowhere, I think with the whole Carl Kinsella thing, it just tweeted out, "Great to hear that our colleagues over at Lewis have scrapped tickets and are no longer charging for the service. Hopefully we can do the same soon too." The official Blue Tick Lewis account actually responded and said, "A valid ticket is needed to travel on the Lewis." And then it signed off as some person called Sally.
Oh, poor Sally.
Poor Sally. So Sally, I think, is maybe starting getting dogs abuse. But someone did reply saying, "Hi, at Twitter Dublin," so the official Twitter handle for the Dublin office. "Not sure how this fake got a blue tick, but the Lewis is free."
I know, I've seen somebody, Mad Bear, replying, going, "Hi, Sally, I have a religious exemption from paying for public transportation. Please confirm that the Lewis doesn't discriminate against people of my faith." such as myself. They haven't replied yet. I've also noted that Carl Kinsella himself has now seen that they've and he said, I can't believe Lewis are now trying to charge for the Lewis after being free all these years. I see another one, just People of Ireland wrote out, you know, the men and women of 1916 died so Ireland could be free, just like the Lewis. So, yeah, so I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon, but I don't know. So I'm going to have to respond with something a bit better than a valid ticket is needed for travel on the Lewis.
I did see not the RT News tweet out, folks, just be kind to Sally for today or something like that.
I know, like, you wouldn't want to be on managing the Lewis social media account.
Yeah, why would they sign off like that? What was
it's a thing that a lot of customer service Twitter accounts do. So like, if you're the tweet of Vodafone, it's like, you know, I guess what rep you're talking to.
Oh, right.
Because these companies would have like social media departments dedicated to customer service as if it was a chat or a phone or an email. They kind of treat it the same. So okay. I guess it's not what rep you're talking to.
Yeah.
I've seen somebody else tweeting out Free Britney, just like the Lewis.
Sorry, I just saw a brilliant picture of, you know, the Free Willy poster.
Oh, I saw that.
And the little boy, and he has his arm in the air and the whale's going over, but instead of the whale, it's a tram of the Lewis.
Yeah. By the way, that is really well photoshopped. Yeah, like, yeah. The Lewis is even bending over.
Yeah, I did a bit of photoshopping today for the episode. I'm looking forward to launch that. But damn, I didn't think of that.
Someone has tweeted Eamon Ryan asking him, you know, please make the Lewis free. So we'll see when he comes back. Like, you know, you can catch him on one of his famous afternoon naps.
Yeah.
He might actually go ahead with it.
A peaceful nap under this. At Scooby Shaw tweeted out, spreading information, Sally. No, that's not on. And then someone at Sugar Shane tweeted out, scam warning, a man in a luminous coat. Lewis coat tried to fine me 80 euros for not having a ticket, in quotation marks. They work in teams of two. Instead of replying to Dublin bus, maybe tackle this issue first.
They've obviously reduced the fine, so...
Maybe you got scammed.
Yeah,
but even like, listen, some actual real people have been tweeting about this too. Ronan Murphy, football journalist for Goal, did tweet out that the Lewis is free, and so did a councillor for Talla actually as well.
Okay.
Supported it. Yeah, what's his name? I'm getting a tweet up here. Councillor Liam Sinclair tweet out, amazing that the Lewis, such a reliable service, is completely free.
Well, if he's a councillor in Dublin City Council, then he put that motion forward.
Must be real.
Yep.
But listen, that's my fun little silly tread for this week. Cormac, should we talk about your Spanish soap opera?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the goat, and that's not the animal, that's Lionel Messi. He's due to leave Barcelona. By the way, just caveat that with, I don't think he's the GOAT, but that's for another day.
You think Ronaldo is the
GOAT? Well, I actually think Maradona is, but I'd be more kind of, listen, as a growing up as a Man United fan, I was, you know, just I go Ronaldo just for...
I think you're more results based, aren't you?
Yeah, kind of like, you know, yeah, exactly. But the first I heard of this was actually you text me. Obviously, the first I'd heard of it was 6 months ago when we spoke about it. But you text me, did you see this? And it was your kind of favourite go-to Twitter football guy, Fabrizio Romano, who is kind of the current, for the last year or so, maybe two, the go-to.
How does he get his stuff in?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because I said to you, I originally thought a while ago he was even a football agent, not even a journalist.
No, he's just
stuff in that.
Just gets it. Just seems to get it. Like, not even a Messi. He's just after breaking that Chelsea have confirmed that they're signing Romelu Lukaku
for $97 million. Like,
they're signing him back after letting him go for 25 to Everton. I think about 7 years ago now, 6 years ago. Manchester United, funnily enough, have a percentage.
That's right.
Thing. So they'll get money from that as well. But that's how football seems to go these days. But Fabrizio broke on the other night, August 5th, that Messi will not continue at Barcelona. Now, to a lot of people, this came as a surprise. To me, it didn't. Purely based on what began to come out over the next couple of days, the last 2 days, mostly from Barcelona's new president, Juan Laporta, but he was their president years ago during one of the really successful phase. And he was speaking, Laporta was saying, which Romano tweeted out, financial numbers and losses are worse than expected. Our salary mass is not leaving any margin. Financial fair play is also blocking us. I can't make a decision that could destroy the club. It was Barcelona or Messi. Barcelona are the most important thing. So what Laporta is referring there to is La Liga have a salary cap in place that for years and years and years and years and years and years, they completely ignored.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't want to know anything about it because Real Madrid were winning four Champions Leagues in a row, or three Champions League in a row, 4 and 5 years. Barcelona had that great team. They had Messi, they had Neymar, they had all these great stars. Spain were winning European Cups and World Cups.
Yeah, so I always felt like I was hearing stories about Barcelona breaking rules and then finding out they're signing someone new the next week.
They did that quite a lot. Yeah. They financed some deals as well through the like Nike, because Neymar is from Brazil and Nike have always sponsored Brazil.
Yeah,
and in turn Brazilian players. Nike actually financed most of Neymar's deal and Coutinho's deal, either on transfer fee or wages. Now, Barcelona lost cases in court over those types of deals. So Real Madrid, but this was a common kind of thing. But La Liga didn't care about this for a number of years until about 6 months ago when Sean, I know myself and yourself, had a heated debate on the podcast over the Super League.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
Now, it seems that La Liga have suddenly taken an interest in exactly what Barcelona and Real Madrid, in particular, those two clubs are up to.
Yeah.
Because they were so eager to leave.
Yeah.
You know, now they're taking an interest in. So I'll just give you some quick figures. So as I mentioned there, you know, Laporta said we can't register his contract because he's essentially, it's as simple as Messi was out of contract at the end of last season. He's now a new signing. They cannot register any new players because their salary bill is still too high.
Yeah, and you're saying that they've bought people that can't.
They actually currently can't register Memphis Depay, who tweeted out last night, blue heart, red broken heart, goat. So he currently can't, although I suspect when he is registered now next week, he will not be too broken hearted.
Signing thinking you're going to play Messi for a season.
But this is what happened. Sergio Aguero signed, you know, on for the last two or three seasons of his career at Barcelona to what the thoughts of playing with Messi.
Yeah.
I actually think they're brother in law. I think they might be brother in
law. Oh my god! Isn't Aguero his daughter's grandfather or a godfather or something?
I think the boat mother, I don't know. There's some tenuous link there to Maradona. I do know that much. I know Aguero was married to Maradona's daughter, but I'm not sure what Messi falls into it.
Maybe Messi is Aguero's son's godfather.
Something like that. But they're clearly very close. So,
yeah.
You know, but, you know, Romano tweeted out, I spoke with Jorge Messi, that's Messi's agent, which is also his father, and Leo in the last hours, there's no chance to continue together. We can't go through because of financial regulations. Miguel Delaney had tweeted out that Barcelona expect losses of €487 million for last season. That's one season.
Christ.
So Barcelona kind of made a name for themselves over the last couple of years of been the best club to pay for to get paid. They've signed numerous players and not really been able to even play them. They've loaned them out quite quickly. They've Samuel Umtiti, they're trying to get rid of him. Everybody remembers Philippe Coutinho.
Yeah, what a disaster that was.
Trying to get rid of him, he's on over €200,000 a week. They need to reduce the wage bill by about €2 to 3 million per week, not per year. Antoine Griezmann looks like he could be going as well, but nobody in reality wants to pay in a COVID world wants to pay these wages. You could only possibly sell to three other clubs, and Barcelona don't want to do that because those three other clubs are Real Madrid, we'd say four, Real Madrid, Manchester United, Paris Saint-Germain, and Man City, and they're not going to to do that. Although Messi, from what I can make out today, is very clearly on the way to Paris Saint-Germain, which I think is quite sad, because I don't mean to be putting down the French league here, but it's not really where I would have seen him spending his last 2 years.
It would have been interesting if he went to the Premiership.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously Abramovich yesterday seemed extremely keen, but the fact that they're signing Lukaku today means Messi's obviously said no.
I think it's a shame. You know, one thing I will say about the Ronaldo versus Messi debate is that Ronaldo's always played at top leagues.
Yeah, he has.
And, and different clubs, whereas Messi's kind of stayed safe. And not, look, listen, it's clearly one of the best of all time, but you all stay at one club, nice and safe.
Yeah, like, it's a tough one to... I don't see how, like, if PSG go and win the Champions League next year, like, is anybody really going to go, oh, wow, you know, what an achievement.
Yeah.
You know, you've won the Champions League with Messi, Mbappe...
It goes back to your sports washing.
You know me in sports washing. It's like Sean and the right-wing Americans. So this summer, PSG have signed Sergio Ramos. So for once, Sergio Ramos and Messi are on the same team. Sergio Ramos, Donnarumma, who was the Italian goalkeeper in the Euros, Jorginho Wijnaldum, and Lionel Messi. So
that's
to add to Neymar, Mario Icardi, who probably won't get a look in now, Verratti, Mbappe, and a whole host of other really top players that really have there. So Gary Lineker was tweeting that out. But just a couple of kind of quick things. The real issue here does surround Zach Lowy tweeted this thread out, and it was way back in July. Well, not way back in July, way back in May, I think it was, that Barcelona cannot register any new signings, including Memphis Depay, Sergio Aguero, Eric Garcia, or Emerson Royal, after exceeding the La Liga salary limit. Despite selling five players, Barcelona still need to reduce their wage bill by $2 to $3 million per week. So, you know, they've signed guys that haven't even ever really played for them. Umtiti is refusing to rescind his contract, and Barcelona are looking at loaning him out to save a gross salary cost of 20 million. Jesus. So they're paying him 20 million euro a year. He hasn't really played a game through injury in about 2 years. Everyone remember Ousmane Dembele, who they signed for close to 100 million, who is regularly injured, and when he's not injured, he doesn't turn up for training because he's playing FIFA. This is a professional footballer who doesn't turn up to play actual professional football because he's playing
imaginary digital football.
Yes, on his PlayStation. So you can see bad decisions have been made at Barcelona. How does this, you know, how does this impact the rest of Europe? Well, today they were talking about there really is only two choices here: either La Liga bow, not to Messi because he's gone, but either La Liga bow to allowing Barcelona and Real Madrid to do what they want, or they will look again at breaking it up.
I think so.
Yeah, definitely. You don't necessarily need...
Is there any chance of a Juventus-style situation happening where they get relegated back a division, lose some players, reset a little bit and come back up?
I think they should have done that. It's happened. It hasn't actually happened to other clubs, but they've let other clubs just... Valencia went bust a couple of times, just let them go bust, you know.
Just turn a blind eye, that kind of
start thing. Again. But, like, you know, everybody knows the history in Spain in general. There'd be a lot of people who wouldn't be on for saving Barcelona in the same way they'd be on for saving Real Madrid, so to speak. But they have their own troubles. They can't buy the players that their dream is to buy Mbappe, but he's not going anywhere.
The whole Galacticos thing is dead, isn't it?
Absolutely, but it does raise questions about, you know, where is this club going to go from here? I suppose in Spain they have a different system. They have elections.
That's
right,
yeah.
You elect a club president. I don't know how Laporta fixes this as it stands. He could possibly register maybe one or two of those players that they've signed next week to start the season, but not all of them.
It's mad that they can't register.
And then on the flip side, you've Atletico Madrid, who've been run like a well-oiled machine for the last couple of years, are now actually looking at buying Bernardo Silva from Man City this morning. So they could come along now and dominate the Liga for 6 or 7 years. We might be getting, our age group might be beginning to see what possibly happened in the late 80s, early 90s, maybe in England with teams like Liverpool, just not in a different, Liverpool didn't go broke or anything like that. They made a couple of bad managerial decisions, and before you know it, Manchester United and Arsenal were the two big clubs. But we could be beginning to see now maybe the debt of, it happened to AC Milan in Italy.
Very
on
true,
a smaller
yeah.
scale,
yeah.
You might be beginning to see.
United.
True. Where is he going? PSG, I would say.
Yeah.
Chelsea were in the hunt until this morning. Just before we go, Sean will like these numbers involved. Al Sadd in, I think, Saudi Arabia offered him close to $1 billion for 5 years.
That's unreal.
But he didn't.
Just in the Saudi Arabian league, is it?
Yeah.
Jeez.
But the original plan was Barcelona were going to pay him for 5 and he only played for 2. You know, but they just had that little money that they had, they were going to spread payments out over 5 years. So it didn't matter what he was doing after the 2 years, even if he was at another club,
yeah,
he was going to pay him. It'll be interesting to see, you know, see what happens with Messi. I would have been like Sean, I would have liked to see him come to the Premier League.
Yeah.
Or even... He could have taken
the League of Ireland.
Absolutely. But he could have taken a slight pay cut and gone to an AC Milan or Juventus. You know.
One last season versus Ronaldo would have been fun, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Or the two of them on the same team would have been nice.
Here's the other thing about Messi, like, he could easily take a pay cut, I assume. I don't know his financial ins and outs. I know he's evading a lot of tax, but you have to assume he could take
some. There's something in his contract where he like gives loads of money to the Catholic Church.
Yeah, he's not the only South American player that's ever...
Aguero does that,
doesn't he? Aguero's done it, Ronaldinho had done it.
That's right.
I think his current net worth is $600 million.
He's 34, isn't he?
Yeah.
Ancient.
Yeah. But no. Just quickly on the sports thing, I've no real tweets on it, but just to say, you know, hopefully we'll all be up. I plan on being up early in the morning to watch Kelly Harrington in our gold medal fight in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Openly critical of her opponent, however, not knowing anything about what's going on in the ring at the same time, you know. So,
yeah.
But I think it'd be good to see Ireland winning another gold medal.
What time is that in the morning?
Yeah, I think it's due. It's actually at the better time of, although still quite early, give or take 6 a.m.
Oh, it's not too bad.
Not like the 3 o'clock fights, which I will wholeheartedly admit that I did not get up to watch.
Yeah. You swore you were.
Yeah. I had set alarms for 1 or 2 of them and then just couldn't.
No, that's fair.
I got up to watch the rowers. And
oh, yeah, rowing will get up for
that. Was enough. That was enough of an experience. I said, no, I can't get up this early again.
Fantastic.
But that's it. Look, we'll keep an eye on the Messi situation and hopefully young Memphis Depay's heart is mended in time to start for Barcelona next week.
Part-time DJ Memphis Depay. Alright, gents, as always, thanks again for joining me this week. Did you have any tweets of the week or anything else you wanted to throw in before we wrap up?
I did.
Yeah.
It wasn't by Oliver Callan.
Yeah.
It was a tweet that I saw going up about the Foo Fighters.
Oh man, I saw this. It's brilliant.
Yeah, David Grohl and the Foo Fighters.
David Grohl. Sorry, I've never heard someone call him David.
Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters trolled the West Barrow Baptist Church outside their concert in Kansas, playing disco in Vernon.
It sounded like the Bee Gees, because I know the Foo Fighters have done a Bee Gees rock album.
Have they?
Yeah, it's on Spotify.
I'll just see if we can play a little bit. Why are
you looking? Why are they everybody? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Can't you just love everybody? Because I think it's about love. That's what I think. Now that we're all about
they love his voice for that. But yeah, that went, that's just what was went viral last night on Twitter. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, it's excellent. He, the Foo Fighters have a history of protesting, trolling and annoying those annoying fuckers over there. But they do, yeah, if you look on Spotify, they've done like a Bee Gees rock album. They just take the vocals from the Bee Gees, but they did the music to it.
Oh.
And that's good. That's good.
I must check that out.
Do. I know mine was just some fella called @kept_simple. Just simply tweet out, I'm the guy who made the vaccine card slightly bigger than wallet size.
He's a monster. He's a monster.
He is. Cormac?
I don't have one as such because it's a visual one. I just got really excited about the tweet of Amazon's Lord of the Rings series reveal.
Fair, you know what, that's fair. Yeah, it looks good.
So I would encourage people to go and look at that. Although the Lord of the Rings is traditionally very safe, it's not quite Game of Thrones. It's just like four people getting killed every week.
Yeah.
There's something about the Lord of the Rings.
Not as much death, not as much nudity.
Story and folklore that I really like. So I got really excited when I seen the image of their new series. So I encourage people to go and look at that.
Fantastic. We are not sponsored by Amazon, but we'd love to be. Apart from their terrible working conditions. All right. Thanks for listening to the Tweets Ahead podcast. You can check out our website at tweetsahead.com. Follow us on Twitter @tweetsaheadcast and Instagram as well. Listen, you can find podcasts on all good podcast platforms. Our music, as always, is Welcome to the Breakdown by Bill Coleman. Please like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. And we'll see you all next time.
Ciao.
Ciao, Bella.